Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike, and happy July 4th.
Well, thank you. It's been an exciting month so far when it comes to the financial markets. I know a lot of your listeners are in the position I am, and that is they're involved in the gold and silver markets. And both those markets made short-term highs in May after having a tremendous rally starting really the last day of February. Gold was below $2,050 an ounce, and it rallied $400. And then it peaked out in May and fell down about $2,300 in June. And silver had similar price action, going up to 32, falling a little bit below 29. But if you look at the charts, you can see that this appears to be a consolidation pattern, a classic triangle formation. You create that by drawing a trend line on the highs and then on the lows, and it looks like a triangle. And today, the day right before July 4th, as we're speaking, both gold and silver had tremendous rallies. Gold went up $26, silver about a dollar, and silver is already at $30.43, gold just $100 now away from that all-time high. So this is constructive action, and seasonally, what's also interesting is that historically, gold and silver tend to pause just as they've done now, and then break out in July and August and have a nice run almost through the end of the year. And the mining stocks have held up very well on this consolidation period. And now they've had good rallies today too. So I think if people have been on the sidelines watching these metals markets, now's the time to get involved. And there's more than just gold and silver. In fact, I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm very bullish on gold and silver, but there's a neglected metal that no one talks about at all that I think is just starting to rally, and that's palladium. In fact, this might be my top trade of the month for July is palladium. Gold and silver are part of a larger precious metals market. You got copper, you got aluminum, you got zinc, and all of them have gone up. But typically, gold goes up first, and then silver and these other metals go up. But interestingly, palladium has not yet gone up like they have. And the last two bull market cycles, you go back to the 2000s and 2002 to 2012, that's what happened then. Palladium was the last of these precious metals to go up. And it happened again in the, let's say, 2010 to 2020, or 2016 to 2020. Palladium lagged and then it went up. But when palladium gets going, it really gets going. It can double or triple in price. And that's what's happened this year in the sense that palladium has lagged the other metals. Palladium fell down to 850 in February, went up to 1100 as the other metals rallied, but then it came all the way back down to 875 last month in June to form what I believe is a double bottom on the charts. But not once this year until today had it managed to close above the 200-day moving average, which is a feat. You know, gold's been above the 200-day moving average all year. Silver been above the 200-day moving average, or it was trading around it up and down until the last day of February, which it broke out of it and it's remained above it yet. So palladium really lagged, and now it's starting to go up. And I think it's going to be an explosive situation because in the futures market, because of the palladium price action of having lagged the metals here and other metals for really 3 years, really it was in a bear market for 3 years, a vicious bear market. Palladium was at 3,400 in March of 2022. And, you know, basically went down till this February, all from 3,400 to 875. And hedge funds, managed money accounts, I guess they use robots, they have shorted palladium in the futures market and kept adding on to those positions to the point where just 2 weeks ago, they had built the largest short position in the futures market among managed money hedge fund accounts ever in the history of palladium. And as they were doing that in the futures market, the large commercials, the producers of palladium that used the futures market not to speculate but to hedge their productions, they took the biggest long position they ever have had in the history of the palladium market as long as futures have been trading on it. So you have a dichotomy here where the producers, the hedgers, the large players who tend to be right at market turning points are heavily long because they use the futures market not to speculate but to, you know, hedge their operations, to lock in their prices. And the speculators are mega short. So I think you got a situation where these speculators, if the palladium price keeps going up here, and I think it's going to, they're going to be caught up in a short squeeze, and that can lead to explosive rallies in the palladium market. So I'm very excited about the setup there, and I wanted to talk about it, you know, early in the interview. Because I know no one else is talking about it. I do a Google search. There are no stories about what palladium is doing. So I really wanted to draw it to people's attention.
Plus, it's an industrial metal, isn't it?
Oh, it is indeed. And that's the story reason for why it's traded so bad, is that these electric vehicles don't use as much palladium as the traditional car does. And, you know, the meme of the past couple of years is how electric vehicles are going to take over the world and this and that. So that was the justification for falling prices, is there's not going to be as much demand. But the thing about the industrial metal, the EV story is that, you know, it's a meme and the bloom has gone off of that. The demand for electric vehicles has not been what people expected. In fact, we found out this week that the sales of Tesla vehicles has fallen 5% in the past 12 months. Their earnings are almost in collapse. If you look at their revenue statement, it's like their revenue's down 50%, or their net income is down 50%. Their profit margins are collapsing because the sales of their cars has fallen 5%. The interest in the demand for electric vehicles has not been what it was predicted to be. And I think that's another reason to be bullish on palladium. At the same time, even though the news was bad for Tesla, when you look at the actual numbers, they were able to spin it by getting friendly stock market analysts to create predictions for even worse numbers. The analysts, you know, they make their predictions before the earnings come out, and they're predicting even worse numbers, so the numbers weren't as bad as their predictions, even though they are absolutely awful. But the fact that they weren't bad as what the analysts were predicting that talked to the Tesla and talked to Elon's people, it enabled people to hype the stock up, and it went up from 180 basically 3 weeks ago to now about 243. So they short squeezed people on that. Doesn't mean I think it's a good investment, but it's a sign that there's still rampant speculation in these markets by the mere fact that a stock like that can move the way it does.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information,
welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's going on with crude?
Well, it's floating around. Crude's around $82, exactly where it was a couple months ago in March, and really where it was last year in August. It's been trading in a range with between 70 and 90, basically. It did get up to 94 last October. But I think that's going to be the story of the rest of this year. I don't really expect it to soar or break down. So, you know, if people are interested in energy stocks, I think they have to look at, be specific on, you know, what the stocks are that they're buying. Don't be buying on the idea that crude is going to soar, but don't be worried about crude crashing. Look for good earnings, good dividends. Think that way. And I do think, you know, we're headed for a bigger commodity bull market. If we look at what gold and silver have done already this year, they've turned up into new bull markets. And I was arguing that palladium is going to follow them. But historically, if you look at commodities, the precious metals complex goes up first, and it's doing that. And then soft commodities go into bull markets, and some of them are going up, some of them are going down. Corn is down, soybeans is down, but some of the individual ones are up, coffee's up. Cocoa has gone went crazy this year, and that's used to make chocolate. So, it's, you know, chocolate prices in the stores are high, and Halloween will be a nightmare for the parents that buy the candy for the children. But energy tends to be the commodity that goes up last in an overall commodity bull cycle. Again, go back to the 2000s, and gold went up really starting in 2002. It had been under $300 an ounce for many years, then it broke above that in 2002. But it wasn't until the next year that oil really got going, and it really wasn't until 2008 where it became a mania, where for a couple months people were talking about every day in the financial media. So I think we're years away from that again when it comes to crude and other energy prices, and these other commodities will go up first. But as I said, the right energy stocks are good investments.
Anything going on with uranium?
I don't really know. I don't really follow the uranium price that closely. So I've got to go take a look at the chart and see that it indeed has gone up. Uranium was under $50 in November, and it went up to above 80, and now it's above 70. So it had a nice pop. earlier this year. But to me, there's just a limited number of ways to invest in uranium. There's a couple exchange-traded funds that invest in uranium, but they're very accessible to Canadian investors, but I'm not even sure if they trade on the U.S. market. I don't really understand why they don't. And there's a couple major uranium mining companies, such as Cameco, that, you know, they're good stocks, but there's only a few that produce uranium. So it's a space of just two or three major companies and many, many super speculative stocks. And I'm not up on those stocks to know which ones are the good ones. You know, they're like junior or exploration companies, really. So I'm just not up on which ones are the good ones in that space.
Is marijuana going to be legalized in the U.S.?
Well, it is legal in many places, but it turned out to not be, well, it's no surprise to me what has happened. So I'll just tell you, I live in the state of Virginia, and they have legalized it. So I don't know. I'm not a dope smoker, but I don't know how much you can own, you know, and carry around. But I do know I could grow two marijuana plants if I want to in my backyard or in my house. So it's legal in that sense. And before they allowed people to grow the plants, there were some, you know, cannabis stores and companies sprouting up everywhere. And there was talk that some farmers might try to grow hemp, possibly the cannabis. But what happened is what I, you know, was told was going to happen by law enforcement officials. A district attorney told me this was going to happen, and so did farmers. And what they were telling me was that once it became legal, that the price for dope, the price for cannabis, the price for hemp in the state I live in would completely collapse. And that's exactly what has happened. And what I think we saw, you know, years ago when the marijuana stocks, the cannabis stocks, the dope stocks they became meme stocks, you know, and they had great rallies and runs and then they crashed. But what was happening at that time was that it wasn't simply that it was legal in some places and illegal in others, but that it was very limited to the amount that was grown. And a lot of these cannabis stocks, they're basically growing indoors in very controlled environments. And you'd read these companies' financial information, their annual reports, and they would boast about the square footage of cannabis that they're growing in these facilities. And I've been to, like, Las Vegas, you know, a couple times a year, two or three times a year I typically go there, and you can see from the highway some of these, I don't know if they're still there, but I used to see these cannabis growing facilities all indoors. The problem is, and this is what the farmers I know were telling me, they were people that grew tobacco, was that once it became legal to grow it, that the price would collapse. Because the idea of growing a crop only in indoor controlled environments is just silly. You know, once you can grow the stuff outside, the cost to grow drops, and like I said, anyone in the state I live in can grow it. So the whole purpose and function of these marijuana companies that existed, it doesn't make any sense. But it was exciting for the moment a couple years ago.
I know we chat about the meme stocks again. Are they a joke, or are people still making money on them?
Well, when they think right now, when people mostly talking about the meme stocks. They really are talking about GameStop, AMC, because in May they soared. You know, the AMC or GameStop, you know, went from about $10 all the way up to $65, and now it's a $22. And that Roaring Kitty character, he did some videos and he tweeted and helped generate that rally. And people who bought in during that time, now they're losing money. So on the chart, what I see is crazy price action where something was at 10, went all the way up to 65, and now it's at 22. It's trading in the middle of those, almost in the middle of those two, the price low and the price high, which isn't unusual. It's probably going to do that now for the next couple months, and then because you're going to have people who shorted near the top, they're going to want to buy to cover, and it's not just going to go straight back down to 10. And the same, AMC has a similar chart pattern, and you know it's silliness, but people want to trade, they want to play in these markets, but I think the concept of the meme has to be now understood to be more than just a couple stocks, but it's a way of thinking about the world that is becoming more and more prevalent. And the stock market is a place where I've seen it as an evolution, where when I started it out in these markets in the 90s, people talked about earnings. They talked about valuations. They talked about dividends. And yes, there was a speck in a bubble, then it busted in internet stocks. But when it came to internet stocks, they talked, you know, it was silly, but they talked about page views. But there was a metric that they were talking about. Now with the meme stocks, there's none of that. Not, they don't even look at charts. What they look at is the meme. And what is a meme? It's an image created and put on social media. And now more and more people get their information from the social media feeds, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok videos, YouTube videos, whatever it is. They get more of their information from that than they do websites, newspapers, and perhaps talk shows even like yours. You know, there's a big difference between listening to you interview a guest for 10, 15, 20 minutes than loading up a TikTok video and seeing someone flash GameStop or a crypto coin and say something really crazy, you know, and it's a 15-minute video. The amount of information people are processing through memes is very little and very minimal, and it amounts to pure hype. And that's where we are. That's how so many people now are thinking and understanding these markets. That's why the leading crypto guru is someone like Cathie Wood, who simply repeats price predictions that Bitcoin's going to go to a million. That's all the people want to hear. You know, it's getting worse. The meme is getting more extreme. So if you take Bitcoin as an example, a couple years ago we were told that Bitcoin was going to be a new form of money. We were told that it was created by the blockchain, and the blockchain was going to change the world, and that justified Bitcoin going up because the blockchain was an incredible innovation. These were the two things we were told. Now, it turned out that neither one of those things truly panned out. Bitcoin never replaced the dollar. Bitcoin's not used as money really anywhere. And the blockchain, no one even cares about it. So now, when people talk about Bitcoin, the bullish argument is nothing but a price prediction of it, of a high price target. That's it. And that's how meme thinking has evolved and taken over that space, and it's everywhere. You know, I'm just going to use this as another example and shut up about the topic. I'm not trying to tell people to vote Trump or Biden or any such thing in saying this, but the Biden campaign you know, it's had a stumble with Biden's debate. I'll put it that way. And one of the, and I've seen, you know, the emails the Democratic camp, their campaign has sent out to Democrats on how what they're going to do. And one of their main things is they're going to create memes and stick them on Biden's Twitter page and I guess TikTok and other places to, you know, help him. And you can go to Twitter and see a couple short video clips that they produced. So memes are taking over political discourse, financial thinking, and I see it as really dumbing down people and making it so, you know, Tesla, you know, they don't look at the earnings, they don't look at none of that, they just look at the meme of Elon, and that's enough.
I was just trying to keep my lunch down. Look at a picture. Well, that's what we like to do at House Street. Talk to experts. Why do you believe something is going to go up or down? What backs it? And we always encourage people do research. Clicking on a meme is not research.
No, but that's what most people. That's enough for most people. It's well, enough, though.
Well, when markets are going up, people don't believe good advice is necessary. When they start to come down, then they look for, A, who to blame, because they'll never blame themselves for getting into something stupid. And B, then they start crying for help. And they really don't know where to look for it because they haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the way it's going to work.
Yeah. They're too busy partying in the casino as the ocean liner steams at full speed towards the iceberg.
But, as I think I've said before on your show, you know, if you want to gamble, go to the real casino because you can get free drinks and you can look at pretty waitresses and other women in the casino. You know, it's not that fun, I don't think, to look at a Robinhood account on your phone. Hmm.
Mike, anything else we should be taking a close look at or keep an eye on?
Well, you know, the stock market keeps levitating, the S&P 500 and the Dow and the NASDAQ, but that rally is very narrow. NVIDIA has become so important to the market, but I don't really think anything's going to change between now and our next interview with the stock market. To me, the excitement is in gold, precious metals, and as I said, you know, I'm real interested in what Palladium's going to do this month.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us, and enjoy July 4th.
Thank you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HouseStreet.com Radio is a production of House Street Media Incorporated.